My text verse tonight is the same one that we used this morning. It's the 16th verse of Matthew chapter 5. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And this morning we talked about how your light, as it refers to it in that verse, is really not our light. We are a reflection of the light of the world. And then we talked about your works. Let your light show shine before men that they may see your good works, and how our works are not really our works. They are works wrought of God in us and through us. And then we talked about your Father, and He is our Father if we're part of His family. And we become part of God's family when we get saved and we ask Jesus to be our Savior. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And I hope tonight, as I look around, I think this is true of everybody. I hope tonight everybody here is part of that family. I hope you know for sure you're on your way to heaven because there was a time in your life when you asked Jesus to be your Savior. And you know, because the Bible says you can know, that you have a home awaiting for you in heaven where we're going to live in the light forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. No sun is required in heaven. No big burning planet that gives light, because the Son of God is there, the light of the world, and He will provide light for all eternity. Now, so that's what we talked about this morning. I'm coming back to the same verse tonight, and I want to preach on the subject, shine bright. Shine bright. Jesus said, let your light so shine, and I believe if you're going to do anything, you ought to give it your best. If you're going to do anything, you ought to do it with all your might. And I think it's especially true when God not asks us to do something, but tells us to do something. I mean, you won't find please or will you in verse 16. It just says, let your light so shine before men. And we ought to let it shine bright. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 10, the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And that ought to be true in every area of our life. Whatever your hand finds to do, if it's a good thing to do, you ought to do it with all your might. You ought to give it your best. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man. So whatever we do in this world, I know some of the things we do in this world, we do for other people. Like some of you, the unfortunate ones, have to go back to work tomorrow. And you have to be at work on time, and you have to stay there all day. I asked Brian as he came in, you ready to go back to work? He said, no. I said, when you're off for a while, you really get to enjoy being off. But some of you got to go back to work, and you'll do things tomorrow for a man. But what God says is, yeah, there's going to be things in our life that we'll do for other people, but let's do it as unto the Lord. Let's do it heartily. Now, in verse 16, what God has asked us to do, He's asked us to do for Him. He said, I want you to let your light shine. And so we need to do that heartily, because we are doing that unto the Lord. Now, tonight, as I speak on the subject, shine bright, I want to do two things. Number one, I want to give you three whys. Three whys why we should shine bright. And then number two, I want to give you three hows. Three things that we can do to make our shining brighter for Jesus. So, in actuality, you're getting a six-point sermon tonight. Double your money's worth, so to speak, because I only usually have 3 points. But I'm going to give you six tonight. Now, don't worry, we'll be done at our normal time, and we're going to have some fun. And the last three, I hope it works. I'm going to illustrate it for you. I've got some props up here that I'm going to use to illustrate the things that we can do to shine brighter. But let's first of all talk about, for a couple minutes, why. If we're going to shine, why should we shine bright? Three reasons. Number one, Jesus needs for us to do it. He needs for us to shine bright. Did you ever stop and think that Jesus could have picked a lot of different ways to get the gospel out to different people? I mean, he could have picked a lot of different ways. I mean, in the Bible, we see different illustrations of how God spoke to man and got men's attention. I mean, we've just celebrated Christmas, and we talked about the story of the shepherds abiding in their fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and how God wanted to share a message with that group of people, and how he sent an angel with a message from heaven. Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that angel told them where to find that little baby. It described not only the location, but what he would be wrapped in, what he would be laying in. And the shepherds were able to follow the instruction given by that angel and find the Christ child. Did you ever stop and think that God could have spoke the gospel to people from heaven? I mean, he could have found you when you were alone sometime and had an angel appear to you and tell you that you were a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from God. But God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. And if you'd ask him, he'd save you. I mean, he could have sent an angel to do that to each one of us as individuals. He could have sent fire from heaven. You remember when Elijah was up on Mount Carmel and they were having a test to prove who was God, God or Baal? And they set up a contest and they each had a sacrifice. And the God that answered with fire from heaven was declared to be God. And God could have done that same thing. I mean, he could have set up a test between him and all the other things that we might trust in. And he could have sent fire from heaven in our presence in that we could witness to know that he is God. And when he says that we're sinners and there's a penalty for that sin and Jesus paid the penalty, we would believe him because we saw fire come from heaven and consume something. He could speak from heaven. I mean, God himself could speak from heaven. You can go back to Exodus chapter 20. When God spoke to the Israelites, they were around Mount Sinai. Moses wasn't on the mountain at that point. And a cloud and fire came down and covered the top of the mountain. And God spoke. I mean, the voice of God spoke the Ten Commandments to the people. Now, I dare say that if an angel spoke to you and told you we're a sinner going to hell and you needed Jesus, or fire came down from heaven as part of a test to prove that what God said is true, or if you heard the voice of God speaking to you from the portals of heaven telling you that you were a sinner in need of a Savior, in the way that we think, we might say, well, that would have been a better way. More people would have gotten saved. More people would not have doubted the gospel, and more people would have responded to it. But I'll remind you tonight, God did not choose those ways to share the gospel. His designed plan was for us to shine. His divine plan was for us to do those good works that he wrought in us, so that others could see the Father and glorify him and know that salvation, the message of salvation, is true. And I'll just tell you, it's consistent with how God works. I mean, God could have sent a bolt of lightning when Goliath said, "Hey, who's God?" When that giant Philistine stood in that valley between where the two armies were camped and said, I don't believe that the God of the Israelites is any God to worry about. I'm a champion of the Philistines. Send me somebody to fight and we'll decide whose God is God. Do you know God could have took a lightning bolt and split that giant in two? He could have. Instead, he used a little teenage boy in a slingshot to kill a giant. When God's people were slaves in Egypt, he could have come in a mighty manifestation of his power and told Pharaoh, "Let my people go." In a way, Darwin, that Pharaoh knew that God was talking to him, and Pharaoh said, "Hey, go. go. But instead, God used an old man with a stick. Huh? It's consistent with how God works. When those 5,000 men were gathered on the hillside hearing Jesus teach and preach, probably a crowd when you add in the women and the children of 15,000, God could have sent manna from heaven to feed them. I mean, he fed millions of the Israelites as they were walking through the wilderness, and on the hillside there were just 15,000 people, and he could have sent manna from heaven to feed them. Instead, he used a little boy with a little lunch to feed that crowd. You see, God could share the gospel in many, many ways, and yet he's chosen to let us shine so that others could see the good works that he has wrought in us and glorify God and know that God is God. And he says we're sinners and deserve to be separated from him and that Jesus died for us. He's chosen to let us shine and share that message. Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We have been entrusted with a wonderful privilege and an awesome responsibility to let our light shine so that others can see the good works wrought in us by God and come to him and glorify him. So why should we shine bright? Because Jesus needs for us to do it. He needs for us to do it. Number two, why should we shine bright? Because other people need for us to do it. Other people. There's an old song that goes, "While passing through this world of sin, and others your life shall view, be clean and pure without within, let others see Jesus in you." Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. Do you ever stop and think how much we learn about God from the people that God puts in our life? I learned about the judgment of God from my dad. I mean, when my dad said, "This is the rule. If you break it, this is what you're going to get," I didn't have to wonder about if I was going to get it or not. I mean, my brothers and I learned that if we broke the rules, we were going to get it. That judgment comes when judgment is promised. I learned about the love of God from my mother. She showed me a lot of grace and a lot of mercy. There were a lot of things I did when my dad was gone that my dad never found out about because my mother had a lot of mercy and a lot of grace and a lot of love. I learned about God's patience and desire for people to get saved from my grandmother. And I've shared my testimony with you before about how my grandmother would, she had a bent finger and she would shake it in my face and tell me that I was going to hell unless I got saved. And she never gave up on me. She kept shaking that finger. You see, people learn about God and people learn about Jesus from us. This verse says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." In the Greek, there's two words for good. One is agathos, which is goodness, just pure goodness. And as I said this morning, as mankind, we don't even know how to define goodness, let alone do it. The Bible says God is good. And that's how we learn what good is, when we learn about God. But there's another Greek word, kados, K-A-D-O-S. And that's the Greek word that's used in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 5. And it means the same thing as agathos, which means goodness, but it also attaches to itself an attractiveness. In other words, it's not only pure goodness, but it's a goodness that attracts other people to it. Sort of like we were talking about salt this morning. Salt preserves, but salt also adds spice or zest or taste to food. And in the same way, the word good that's used in verse 16, it means goodness, but it also means that it attracts people to itself. It draws people to itself. And so if we're doing what God wants us to do in letting our light shine, and we need to do it because other people need it, Jesus needs us to do it, and other people need to do it because they need to see that good, those good works that are wrought in us by God, so that they will say, boy, that's good. And it's not only good, I sort of want what that person has. Terry and I were talking a little bit about this yesterday. About how God works in people's lives, and others see it, and they want what that person has. And that's what Jesus is saying in this verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, those works that are good because they're wrought of God, and those works that draw other people to Christ. Those works that draw other people to the life that we have in Christ. We're talking about this morning. What this world needs more than anything else today, as we start the year 2009, is a giant dose of hope. And the world doesn't have anything that's going to give hope. I mean, they're saying, well, things will get better, but it'll be a couple years. And they're saying, I don't know if we'll ever get peace in the Middle East. I mean, they might as well quit wasting their time and read this book. There will never be peace in the Middle East. And the world doesn't have anything that they can offer to say, hey, let me tell you how you can have hope. Well, we have something that offers that hope. We have something in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can go to a person and say, you don't have to wait 2 years. You don't have to wait and maybe never see it happen. You can have hope now. You can live in hope now. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. We have a blessed hope in the Lord Jesus Christ because we're saved and we're secure and we have a future in heaven. And that's what the world wants. It wants Christians that will shine with those good works that will attract them to what we have, because that's what they're looking for. A lot of times, you probably run into this too. You go up to somebody and say, hey, would you like to be a Christian? And their response is, no, I'm sad enough already. I mean, too many Christians live like their cat just died. Those of you that love cats. Those of us that hate cats, we'd be rejoicing. But you know, your favorite pet just died. I mean, that's how we live our life. Like we go around sad and we go around without hope. Look, we have a hope that shall never die. We have a hope that'll never be set aside. And we got to live our life in such a way and let our light shine so that other people can see what we have and say, that's exactly what I want. Exactly what I want. And so others need for us to do it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, give none offense. Neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That they may be saved. There are people, and I've said this before, but I'll just keep saying it because it'll always be true. As long as you are here. As long as God chooses to let you live on this earth, He wants you to shine. Because there's somebody that's going to see your shining and say, boy, whatever they got, it sure looks good. I need to have the same thing. Nobody else can shine and they'll say that. Only you. Only you. God made us to be shiners. He wants us to shine so that other people can see Christ in us and come to Him. And then number three, why should we shine bright? Why should we shine bright? Because that's what we were made to do. That's the purpose for which we are left on this earth. We read the verses this morning. I'll read them again tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You were made to shine. And you will not be happy and have that sense of fulfillment and will not be doing the will of God in your life unless you do it. And I found that people that live their life doing something else other than what God wants them to do are miserable. They're miserable. I've used this illustration before. I'll use it again. Somebody tell me what this is. It's a pen. Yes, a writing instrument. It's a pen. And Jeff, so you've defined for us what this thing was made to do, right? Well, it was made to do what? Write. Now, I know this pen doesn't have feelings, okay? But if it had feelings, if it could feel fulfillment, if it could feel purpose, how do you think this pen feels when people use it to do things that it was not made to do? Like this. I mean, if it could talk, it said, hey, would you watch what you're doing? I was not made to be a head scratcher. I was made to write. Or when people go, and the pen says, hey, would you look what you're doing? I was not made to be an ear pick. I was made to be a pen, to write. Use me for what I was made for. Or, well, never mind. I won't do that one. You get the picture. And it's the same thing works in us. We were made to shine. We were made to show forth God. We were made to do those good works that He wrought in us so that other people could glorify the Father in heaven and come to Him. So shine bright. Shine bright. Jesus needs for us to do it. Others need for us to do it. And you need to do it for yourself. Because that's how you'll find fulfillment. That's how you meet the purpose in your life. I put a little poem in the bulletin this morning. In the bulletin today. And if you haven't a chance to read it, I'll read it for you. Don't you know, O Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Don't you know, O Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Jesus calls upon you to share the gospel news. So live it and give it and teach it and preach it and know it and show it and walk it and talk it. A sermon in shoes. All right, so those are the whys. Now let me move to part two of my message and give you three hows. I mentioned this morning that the light that we shine is not our light. It doesn't emanate in us. It doesn't find its origin in us. Our light, the light that we let shine, is a reflection of the light of the world. It's a reflection of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And when we shine, what we are doing, we are reflecting His light. Now, there are some things that I can do to shine brighter. And tonight I want to illustrate that. So, Terry, if I could get you and Leonard to come up here and help me. Terry, you stand over there and hold the mirror and sort of hold it at an angle like that. And then, Brother Leonard, you come over here. And Larry, would you just flip off the lights for just a minute? Now, I'm trusting you, keep your eyes open. Okay? Just keep your eyes open. Let me turn these off up here. Okay. Now, see, Leonard's got a flashlight, and he's going to be checking you to make sure your eyes are still open. All right, now, Leonard, what I want you to do, Terry, turn a little bit more at an angle. A little bit more, turn it a little bit more at an angle so that we can reflect the light out there. A little bit more.
I got it on the wall there, see.
Okay. Put it down on the boys back there. They're standing up. Okay. Now. Okay. So, Brother Leonard, you come over here and shine this light to where, you see Evan and Ryan standing up back there? They don't want to miss nothing, so they're standing up. All right? So, Leonard represents Jesus, the light of the world. Terry represents us. There's a light that's shining from Terry that's going back to those two boys. You can turn around and see it if you want. But just, you can see. You can see the light. Now,
That light that those two boys are standing in is not a light that emanates in Terry. He's not producing it. He is reflecting it from that light. And that's what we do as Christians. We reflect the light of Jesus Christ in our lives. Now, there's three things that we can do to make that light shine brighter. Brother Jeff, come up here for a second. I need you to help me. Let me just use your flashlight for a minute, Brother Leonard. I don't know if you can see it. I have some black construction paper up here in my hand, okay? I'm going to let this black, and I've cut it into different shapes. All right, get your light back on so it's shining on those two guys back there. And Brother Jeff, I'm going to let you represent the devil tonight. No, don't say that. All right, and here's what I want you to do. Keep your light shining. Okay, there it is on those two guys. Here's what I want you to do. These little shapes of black represent sin, okay? I want you to take this tape, and I want you to start taping them to the mirror. And I want you to see what happens to the reflection of the light of the world on those two guys back there when we let sin into our life. When we let the things that God tells us not to do come into our life, and when we do those things, don't do those things that God tells us to do, when those start to get pasted, go ahead, Jeff, just paste one after the other. When those things start to get pasted on our life, you will see the impact that it has on the reflection. You will see the light beginning to grow dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. Okay, Leonard, you keep doing your best to get that light on that. You can see it's getting harder and harder for Jesus to reflect his light through Terry to those two boys. And the more sin that we keep in our life, the harder it is to reflect the light. The harder it is to do those good works so that other people can see God and glorify him. All right? Jeff, pick it up a little bit. I'm running out of time. All right? And again, now look. All right? There's a little bitty piece back there, and that's only because Leonard's moving the light around. You know, I think that's what God has to do with us sometimes. We get sin in our life, and we keep it there, and God sort of has to adjust the light and adjust the angle to try to get some reflection off of our life. But it gets harder and harder for him to do as sin comes into our life, and we keep it there. That's why if we want to shine bright, we need to be clean. We need to be pure. Not only on the outside, but on the inside. I mean, we just need to realize that God sees everything we do, knows every thought we think, and the more sin we keep in our life, the harder it is for us to shine bright because the sin in our life stops the reflection. I mean, turn around and look now. Before there was a whole circle around them, there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. I mean, they need to see Christ. They need to see the light of the world. The only way they're going to see that is as it's reflected through us. And the more sin we have in our life, the less is going to be reflected. Okay, Brother Jeff, tear all that sin off. Just go ahead and tear it off.
You can't tell.
Okay, now again, turn around and look. There it is, a whole circle of light. They can see it. Now, here's another thing that we can do to shine bright. And Jeff, since you're up here, I'll just use. Go ahead and put all that sin down. All right? Step in between the light and Terry. It's gone. I mean, there's no light. It's dark back there. And the things that we let come between us and God do the same thing that sin does. Some of these things that come between us and God can be pretty good things. You know, one of the first of the four Ten Commandments is, have no other gods before me. And it's repeated in the New Testament when Jesus said, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. And anything that we let come between us and God, even a good thing. There are some people that let their families come between them and God. And family is a good thing, and we have a God-given responsibility to care for our families. But Jesus said, remember when he's talking to his disciples, unless you hate your mother and your father, you can't be my disciple. He wasn't saying that you needed to hate your mother and father. He tells us to honor our parents and to love our parents. What he was saying is, I want you to love me so much that when people compare your love for me to your love for your family, it looks like hate. And again, he wants us to love our family. But what he was saying is, I don't want you to let anything get between me and you. I mean, some people let their church get between them and God. And they think their church is more important than their God. And it blocks the light. I mean, again, turn around and look. There's nothing back there. There's no light at all. And so, in addition to keeping sin out of our life, we need to take everything that might come between us and God out of the way so that there is a reflection that can be seen, a light that can be seen. And here's the third thing. The closer we get to God, see if this works, Brother Leonard. The closer we get to God, the brighter the light. Look at it. Move a little bit closer. The closer we get, look at it. It's brighter. They can see more light now than when Brother Leonard was standing back here. Oh, and by the way, the closer you get to God, the harder it is for the devil to sneak in and get sin into your life. You get so close to God that, I won't say it's impossible to sin, but it's awful hard because you're so close to him you don't want to. You're so close to him that he can just reach out and smack you if you do. I mean, you're close to him. And by the way, when you're close to God, it's hard for anybody to get between you and God. It's hard for anything to be more important than God is. Okay, Brother Larry, if you turn the lights back on, please, sir. And I'll take all these things, guys. Thank you very much. And so, even though the light is not ours, even though the light doesn't emanate from us, there are some things that we can do to make that light shine bright. And if we're going to shine, why don't we just shine bright? Why would you want to be just a pinpoint of light? Why wouldn't you want to be a big spotlight that shines for Jesus so that others could see the works that he wrought in us and glorify God? Because again, that's what it's all about. It's not about bringing glory to us. It's not about bringing glory to the church. It's about bringing glory to the Father. It's about bringing glory to him. It's about letting people see him so they can see their sin and they can see their need of a Savior. People need to see Christ reflected in us. Helen Steiner Rice wrote a poem. A lot of times it's in the little pamphlets that the funeral homes hand out at funerals. It's entitled, "I've Never Seen God." And it goes like this. "I've never seen God, but I know how I feel. It's people like you who make him so real. My God is no stranger. He's friendly and gay, and he doesn't ask me to weep when I pray. It seems that I pass him so often each day in the faces of people I meet on my way. He's the stars in the heaven, a smile on some face, a leaf on a tree or a rose in a vase. He's winter, autumn, summer, and spring. In short, God is every real, wonderful thing. I wish I might meet him much more than I do. I would if there were more people like you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for letting us carry the gospel to the world. Thank you for giving us the opportunity and the privilege and the responsibility to shine. And I pray, Father, that we'd shine bright, I pray that we'd live clean and live pure, so that no sin absorbs any of that light. I pray that we would keep the things that would come between us and you out of the way. And I pray that we'd get as close as we could to Jesus, so that light would be bright. Father, I pray for the Christians that are here. I pray we'd realize that we're the only gospel some people will read. We're the only hope that they have for heaven. I pray you'll help us shine bright. I pray if there's somebody here tonight that never stepped into the light, never asked Jesus to be their Savior, tonight they would see their sin, they'd see the penalty for that sin, they'd see the great gift that Jesus offered by his death on Calvary, salvation. Tonight they come and ask him to be their Savior. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.